Well, I guess let's start with what your roles are with the Youth Center.
My name is Michaela Eidhammer-Ketpura, and I am the Executive Director of Aspen Youth Center.
And Sue, what about you? You've been with the Youth Center for a long time, right?
I have. We started in 1987 putting together, working a group of adults and students working to determine whether or not there was a need for a youth center in Aspen. And I've been with the Youth Center as a board member since.
Wow. That's great. So you've really seen it evolve over the years, I'm sure.
I have.
How did you guys celebrate the 25th anniversary?
You know, our 25th anniversary was on Halloween, so we decided that it would be smarter to celebrate on the 28th because the kids were definitely wanting to go trick-or-treating. But on the 28th, we had a really awesome birthday cake with a ton of candy on it. You're welcome, parents. And we also had ghost stories, and we had our first middle school night of the year, which involved a fear factor theme, which was very popular and our biggest middle school night we've ever had. There were 27 kids who stayed. So middle school night is for 5th to 8th graders only, and we stay open an extra few hours and do kind of special things for those kids.
Let's just start from the beginning. How did you guys come up with this idea that this was necessary?
It actually all... came from students. There used to be a conference that they used to do with grades 5 through 12, the middle school and the high school combined. It was an annual Views of Youth conference. And every year they'd come up with their top priorities. And typically it was something like improve school spirit. But in 1987, in the fall of 1987, they came up with the idea that they felt that the most important need they had was a teen center, something that was all their own, because we'd done 4 prior youth centers, but they were in shared locations where it was the kids had to share space with adults, and it really was not very inviting to the kids. So we began the process. The students actually then invited a group of us adults to join them, and we then, for the next 4 years, worked to put together the plans, raise the money, and on October 31st, 1991, we opened our doors in the old youth center, which is now a city county building.
Yeah, I remember going there when I was little.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So over the years, can you kind of just provide a little bit of a brief timeline for the listeners? How long were you guys there? When did you go to the ARC?
We went to the ARC in the spring of 2003, and we worked on our space for some time prior to that, because we knew it needed to change because the old design hadn't worked very well for us. So we had that one absolute blessing of being able to, in a very few years, be able to sit down and take all of the things you would like to improve upon and build it in an entirely new space. So the space that we are in at the ARC, we use the funds from our sale back to the city of the $1.4 million that we had raised to build the original youth center. So we constructed our own space within the ARC.
That's great, and it's just a great space. It seems it can hold lots of kids. I'm sure it's a lot more flexibility for what you guys can do.
Absolutely.
Jeannie, let's get you in here. Jeannie's with the editor of the Aspen Times Weekly, and we're kind of doing our first collaboration with the radio and the weekly, and you've obviously been talking to a lot of different people. What's your reporting been like about the Youth Center?
You know, I think it's a really interesting story of a community organization that was, as Sue said, built upon a need, but the need was driven by the users as opposed to these visionaries who come up with what they think everybody wants. I really love the idea that the kids sort of drove the idea. And from what I've learned, both firsthand, because my children have been Aspen Youth Center kids, and in speaking to other people, is that it is still driven to a large degree by those kids' needs and their wants. And I think it's an impressive organization that takes the time to look beyond their board and their director to the people they actually serve in creating, you know, a working model for success.
What were some of your kids' experiences there? Do they still go there? Did they go there before?
Well, my older daughter's in high school, so no, she does not visit there any longer. My middle schooler, he still goes there on occasion, not as much as when he was a little bit younger, because he's pretty busy with, you know, as that happens, as they move on to their own lives. But in those early years when kids are too old to go to camp or be babysat, but really too young to sort of be on their own, I found the youth center to be a great place for them just to hang out after school, to be between things, you know, heading off to hockey practice, mom and dad are at work, we're a two-parent working family, to know that they were somewhere that was safe, there was some supervision, but they weren't being, you know, really overly managed. I liked the idea of that building block of freedom, and they did all sorts of cool things. I mean, my daughter did cooking classes, arts and crafts. She really just liked to sort of be at the center. My son loves all the sports, dodgeball, highlight of everyone's life, as well as in the summertime, the field trips. I think my daughter went to a Rockies game. My son went on a raft trip, some community service projects, which is really important in our family. So, yeah, I found personally it to be a real blessing.
Mm-hmm. And can you guys speak a little to that? I noticed that right away, the kind of independence they get at the youth center, which is so cool. Can you explain a little about that model or why you guys choose to do that?
Yeah, so we are a drop-in facility, meaning that, you know, during the school year, we're open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and during the summer, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. But the kids can check in and check out as they want to, and we do tell the parents, if you don't want them to check out, just tell them you can't check out and you have to stay in the youth center. But it's a really good building block, like Jeannie said, for independence. It helps them learn that, you know, there are boundaries and there's someone there watching them, and if they need help, they know, you know, who to come to. But they can also kind of explore a little bit on their own, and they get to sign up for, if they want to do creative cooking, they have to remember to sign up for it and then show up for it. And if they want to play dodgeball, the same thing. We have a schedule every day, but they have to remember to do it. And we do, you know, call it out 5 minutes beforehand. But if they don't show up, then they lose their spot and someone on the wait list gets in for, you know, like for cooking, for example. We only let 7 to 8 kids in the kitchen with an adult at a time. But it helps them learn, you know, they have to sign up, they have to show up, and then they get to enjoy all the fun stuff, or they can just play games if they want to.
And has that always been a focus, kind of in the model of the youth center?
It has. From the very beginning, we knew we needed to be a drop-in facility because we were not equipped to provide, to go through the licensing that would be necessary to be, you know, a licensed daycare facility. And we didn't like the connotation that a daycare facility sounded like. So because it was, originally we were called a teen center. And it's interesting because the kids that were involved in the planning beginning in 1987, most of them had already graduated and gone on by the time we opened 4 years later, of course, somewhere in middle school during the planning phase. And so they got to, for just a few years, enjoy the fruits of their labor. But they felt it was very, very important that that kids feel like it was a place of their own. And that's really why we've tried to model that kind of behavior from, as it's appropriate to the age, from the fourth grade through high school now, because it was the entire reason why others of our prior incarnations did not work. So we wanted to make sure that it would work this time around, and it has.
Can you speak a little to what a regular day looks like at the youth center?
Well, during the summer, we open our doors at 9 a.m., and we normally get there a little early because we need to get everything ready, turn on the music, turn on the computers, get everything up and running. And there are normally, you know, 15 to 20 kids waiting at the door. So right at 9 o'clock, it's a little bit of chaos because they all want to come in and they're running in to look at the schedule, try to figure out when's the first dodgeball, what classes can I sign up for today. The most popular being dodgeball, as you heard the other day, and creative cooking. We also have added some more outdoor programming, including agility training, which they love. It's kind of like American Ninja Warrior light, but they love it. And you know, they come in, they're running in, they put their stuff down, and then it gets loud pretty fast. You know, air hockey, ping pong, pool, and then the first dodgeball. And then it gets really quiet in the front room. So if you show up when the dodgeball has started, you think there's no one in there until you can look through to the window in the back and there are like 40 kids playing dodgeball. They've all migrated in there. But during the summers, you know, we're looking at 80 plus kids a day on average. And during the school year when we you know, obviously the kids are in school. So after school, we have them in there between, you know, 3:20 and 6 p.m. And that's about 40 to 50 kids after school. But then teacher work days, assessment days, snow days, a lot of the holidays, we're packed because we're open. And a lot of the parents still have to work.
Yeah, that dodgeball, that was just so funny to everybody. And everybody just answered that was their favorite activity.
Absolutely.
Same with your kids, Jeannie.
Absolutely. Especially my son.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to the programming, I guess, even like how it started and how it's evolved over time?
It's interesting because I take my hat off to the staff over the course of the since we moved to the ARC, because they've really worked very hard and been incredibly creative. Our location just across the street from the schools, it has been so extraordinary because what it does is it really, not only does it increase our numbers. When we were downtown, it was very difficult to plan programming because you never knew, you know, the number of kids a day would vary dramatically because of our location. They had to take buses to get to us and that kind of thing. But it was interesting because when we moved to the ARC, the need to put together very creative programming, you know, really increased dramatically. And so over the years, to see the kinds of programs, everything from, I think Jeannie referred to the community program, Community Crusaders, you know, that's been incredible. Each program, believe it or not, even dodgeball, has some incredible thought behind what lessons kids are going to learn, whether it's in teamwork or in just simply lessons in respect. Watching our staff have put sitting down with two kids who are having an argument, and they will sit them down and kids are learning real lessons in civility. And it's pretty amazing. If we could only start doing that, you know, earlier with everyone, it would be a dramatic improvement. But I love the Community Crusader program. That's my favorite one. Cooking is also pretty good. They're pretty darn good cooks. Amazing.
Well, and it's, you know, there are some kids that come in there and you could tell them to make a filet mignon and they're like, okay, done. And there are some kids that have never really learned how to cook anything. So it's a skill to have to bring with them, that if they do go home after school or have to be alone, that they can cook something for themselves and their parents don't necessarily have to be there. So part of it is, you know, skill building. And a lot of those things aren't taught in schools anymore the way they were, at least when I was younger. You know, I was taught how to sew. I was taught how to cook. I did wood shop. Is that what it's called now? You know, so just trying to keep those kind of what the kids consider old school skills. And something we're trying to do is add some, I guess, new school skills with this year. We hope to add some robotics. I have a background in web development and design. And I think that, you know, the just the skills I know, and I'm by no means a master coder or anything, but I do have some skills, and they've really helped me just piecing together things. So we're trying to teach some coding for the kids to start that. And our programs manager, Zoe Manicam, she just took her wilderness first responder training, which is a very intense 10-day course. And so she's certified, she passed, woohoo, and she will be offering some more outdoor type programs, so hiking, camping, winter sports, in conjunction with what we're already doing, but to kind of broaden what we've been doing.
What are you guys hoping the future holds? What do the next 25 years hold?
That's a really good question. I mean, I would love to see us continue to expand. We have right around 1,700 youth members right now, which is pretty incredible. They come from Parachute, as far away as Parachute, up to Aspen. And obviously we have kids who come from all over, because we are open to any youth who is done with third grade up to 12th grade. So if someone's grandchildren come, or cousins, or anybody, yeah. I know that you came from Boulder, I believe, to visit when you were younger, that we're open to everyone. So the goal is to increase our numbers and to remain free. We were not always free. In 2010, we became free. And after that, the board made a commitment to stay that way. So it's not a guaranteed thing. And that's the goal, to continuously raise enough funds to remain free long into the future.
The word free is key for all board members. We have renewed that commitment. We started out being free from the very beginning. But when we moved, into the ARC, and we had our overhead costs increased because we didn't have the diner down below, which is in the old youth center. We didn't have the diner, which actually was a rental income for us. So we needed to develop ways to meet that overhead in order to remain free. For a very brief period of time, we actually charged what was a nominal fee. But we really, as a board, we hated it. We did not want to have to charge. We do charge for some programs in the summer where we have out-of-pocket costs. But when there are programs that the youth center offers in-house, everything is free. And of course, the drop-in capability is free. And that's really always been very, very important. So I think the boards, when you asked Michaela what she hoped for the future, I would echo that from a board perspective, and that is really to be sustainable to the point where we could continue to improve our facilities.
Is there any kind of other particular topics you guys wanted to talk about, or anything specific?
I was going to say, with the remaining free, when we became free in 2010, our numbers increased by 40%, which kind of goes to show that the fee, I know right before that, was $1 to $6 a day based on when the youth came in and slew of other factors. But, $1 to $6 is nominal when you consider how much, a camp costs, or sports, or babysitter, or all those other options if you don't want your child to be alone. But what we found were that there were kids that just weren't coming in anyways. But the minute you took that away, all of them started coming in our doors instead of just sitting outside. So that was super helpful. And I mean, obviously, if we can keep it that way, that's the way we want it to be. And, the one thing about that was that when we became free, we did receive a donation that year to help in that goal, but it wasn't a guaranteed annual donation. It wasn't a guaranteed, lifetime donation. It wasn't a guaranteed forever free donation. It was a one-time, here you go, we're going to make you, give you the opportunity to do this. And after that, it was, okay, now we got to find it in the grants or in donations or in our events. And we've got to make it happen so that we can stay this way. And we do apply to the city grant with Aspen and the county Health and Human Services grant, but we don't receive taxpayer money. And those aren't guaranteed grants. We still have to apply every year and receive them every year. So a lot of people think that we get money from the ARC or from taxpayer money, but we don't.
One of the things that we're really proud of is that Michaela just identified different ways in which we maintain our fiscal viability. But it's interesting that we've always had the goal of the board in putting on a special event to benefit the youth center was always that it should reflect our mission statement. So we haven't just wanted to have like a party that didn't have any real intent behind it. It was just a party of adults. And that's where our event, Spell What, came from, because we thought that that was a unique way to focus on skills that we want the kids to have as far as academic skills, but it was also a way to engage people in this community who have gotten so very, were so exposed to so many different events that we thought that this provided us with a unique opportunity. And Michaela is already deep into planning for this year's event.
Yeah, we're really excited. So Spell What lasted for an awesome 5 years, and maybe it will come back in the future. But for this year's event, Friday, February 3rd, 2017, at the Hotel Jerome, we will be having Family Feud. And I think it's going to be really funny. If any of you have ever watched Family Feud, the questions bring up some pretty funny answers, and it's a way for a lot more people to get involved. In the past, we've picked local celebrities, so to speak, and this year, if you can create your own team. So anybody can create a team, which is kind of exciting. So I think that will make it a lot funnier too. And if you want to buy a table and you don't want to participate, you can make your husbands or wives participate or your coworkers, and you can give them a seat at your table, but tell them they have to get on stage, which is also kind of funny.
That's great. That sounds so fun. Well, good. Well, and I think, you know, just to mention again, we kind of did some first time collaboration with the Aspen Times Weekly, and Jeannie's been working hard on the story, which comes out today. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything we didn't touch on that you touched on in the print story?
No, not so much. I think what you'll find in the Aspen Times Weekly that comes out on Thursday the 10th is a little more in-depth look at the history of the Youth Center and a few more of the people who've been involved. We also got some great photos and a spectacular video that'll be online of what it's like over there, and some words from the kids and the adults involved. So I just think it sort of rounds out and presents a really good picture of the current day, the Youth Center, and also kind of honoring the 25 years that it's been in existence.
Great. Well, great. Thank you guys all so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you
very much.